Jesse Filer provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. It's another month, another security breach, and privacy is back in the news. So Jesse is here to discuss all kinds of things about privacy, including a proposed nationwide privacy act. He is an author and developer who focuses on small business and nonprofits, along with iOS technologies. He has recently added book publisher to his roles. His Champlain Arts business has published apps for a number of years, and he's recently added books. Uta Hagen's memoir, Sources, is back in print through ChamplainArts.com. And Jesse, it's always a delight to have you on the program. How are you?
Delightful to be here.
All right. Let's talk about privacy. So I don't know how to feel about privacy. How should I feel about privacy? Because I think we've talked about this before. My general philosophy is, yes, I would like to keep my information private. However, I just assume they have it anyway. Is that a bad philosophy?
bad when compared to...
Well, I mean, is that how will you judge me on that?
I don't think I judge people on their attitudes towards privacy.
Is that naive, that notion?
It's very common. People say, everyone knows everything about me. It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
And there is unfortunately something to that. But if you look at one of the things I put on the website is the new California law.
Yeah.
What is it? It's California CCPA.
Does it have a prop number now?
Yeah. And I put on there the information that is associated with a person that will no longer, as of January 1, be allowed to be saved or that's covered by this law. Are things like your name and address, your driver's license numbers, insurance policy number, bank account number, education information, device identifier that you're using, your IP address, internet browsing, search and purchasing history. I mean, it's a lot of data. And under this law, as well as the privacy law in the European Union, one of the things you have to be able to do is to see it and to change it, which is really important because people think that all this private data and handling how it's stored is a privacy issue. But I don't think it is a privacy issue. The serious issue is not privacy. It's a technological issue, which is that as soon as you store data, chances are, unless the data is absolutely known to be non-changing, as soon as you store it, it's out of date.
Right.
So that what vendors are doing is they may be storing your device ID, which is the device you're using at that particular moment when they collect the data, like when you log into a website. But they also may be capturing your physical location at the moment when it's happening. All of these things are being stored, and the data that we're storing seems to me, and this is just my interpretation, but it's based on having played around with a lot of data over the years, the data that we're storing isn't really good data because we don't know if it is correct today. We store it, and many, many of these systems store it and don't update it.
So why then is it important not to save the privacy data?
It's important not to save it because for the technological reason is that when you're saving it, you're already guaranteeing that it could be out of date.
Yeah.
That's the issue. Privacy is something I really care about. I think it's very, very important. But when you look at it from the technological side and see people or organizations saving data right and left, it's become sort of the default behavior. As soon as you, on a website or in an app, ask users for some information that you need at that moment for giving them the best experience of the website, you know, like the weather on Central Avenue in Albany, New York, that would be very important to you when you are on Central Avenue or planning to be on Central Avenue. But when you have left beautiful downtown Albany,
yes,
and are someone else, the weather on Central Avenue doesn't really matter to you. But if you're, I mean, we all care about it, but deeply. But that's my concern technologically, is that the data that we are storing in so many cases is going to be out of date as soon as someone goes to it. And a lot of people are poking around with this and trying to figure out what to do with it. And one way of handling this is to store data that links to the data you care about. So if you can get, for example, and Facebook has stopped allowing this, I believe, in all cases, if you could get someone's Facebook identifier and get onto Facebook, actually they do allow it in some cases, but if you get onto Facebook, you can see the information that should be up to date. Facebook is usually pretty updated. It's not up to date for your friends. We tend not to update our friends.
No.
Except in fits of pique. In both directions.
Right.
You know, oh.
You go up, you go down.
Yeah, and the next morning you say, oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Whatever, you know. A lot of technological problems can be explained the next morning.
So we have what's going on in California,
yeah,
right? So how is that? We're not just seeing that in California, obviously.
Well, this one is very similar to the European General Data Protection.
GDPR.
GDPR. It's very similar to that. And a lot of the draft bills in this country for privacy and data protection are based on either Europe or California or both.
So we should care about this.
So that's why we should care about it, because it is something, first of all, we should care about the collection of data, because, first of all, the collection may be storing out-of-date data, which is bad in general. That's definitely a bad thing, because people think they can use it and they don't understand that it's out of date. And there's no way of knowing that it's out of date. So we should care about it because it's important, and because as these draft laws take shape, and we can see it across the country with various laws, because there's a lot of people who are proposing various laws across the country. I'm thinking of gun control laws.
Yeah.
And we are developing a patchwork. Every hot-button item is winding up with its own patchwork of legislation across the country, it seems to me. Everything from reproductive services to gun control, all sorts of things. You know, where you are in the country determines what you're going to see.
So when you look at nonprofits, small businesses, how do they get ready for this?
Well, in CCPA, the California law, the smaller ones are not covered by it. I think the borderline is $50,000, which is good because, I mean, the logic is nonprofits often use volunteers and they don't have much money. And, you know, so it's good. It's good to give some extra help to nonprofits. But in doing that, first of all, nonprofits, we have some very big and powerful nonprofits. And in the last few years, a number of people have brought up the idea that the use of a federal tax exemption, 501c3 for nonprofits, may not actually, I'm trying to think how to say this in a polite way.
Yes.
May not actually describe the bona fides of the organization.
Okay.
Because I believe with budget cuts back and so forth, it is fairly easy to get that.
Now, this is a stupid, naive question. Well, don't tell me that. But you can you can certainly no, identify it as a. But my question is, if it's not universal, and some people can do this and other people don't have to, then that would indicate to me that there would be trouble right there because it's not universal.
I think the way in which these things are playing out. There are two ways they're playing out, is the patchwork, non-universal things. The other way in which they're playing out, in California is, again, one of the participants here, was when California set up their own vehicle emission standards, which I believe are now used across the country. So sometimes the patchwork remains a patchwork, and sometimes it provides the impetus for turning it into a national policy.
Right. Do we need a national policy?
The reason I'm hesitating is that
such
I think
a great pause. Yeah.
Well, it was because of the nature of the question.
Yes, yes.
What good would a national policy do?
Yeah.
I live in Plattsburgh, New York. I can walk to Canada.
Yes.
I can.
Now, I know you can.
It's 20 miles. It's a long walk.
But you can.
You can. And we know that because when the when Commodore McDonough whooped the British in the Battle of Plattsburgh, the British fled back to Quebec by the end of the day on foot. So we know it can be done in a day. And the comments about whooping the British are not meant as anything other than absolute history.
That's right. So, but the point being, so in Plattsburgh, New York, as to why we would...
Why we would want it is what good would it do? Because I can turn on the television set.
And go to Canada.
And be in Canada.
Right. Okay. So...
I prefer the Montreal Weather Report to... The U.S.
the
wants,
one on Central from, Avenue, which you except, apparently have an issue with.
Except from WAMC, of course.
Well, so it is, but it seems like, and I guess my mind is here because we've been talking about this all morning with various guests, which is these very simple concepts where on the face of it, you're like, oh, well, peace is good. Oh, well, we would like no violence. Oh, privacy seems like a good idea, but then it becomes much more nuanced, and then you start thinking to yourself, well, do we really want to get that? And it becomes very sticky and difficult.
I think one of the reasons it's difficult is that we don't know what privacy is.
Yeah.
I think what I think is starting to happen is that people are becoming, this is based on a non-representative sample, but I think people are becoming more aware of the data they do not want to share. Because shared data often is a volitional act. You say, I'm going to share this data with you. That's the fine print on the bottom of the websites.
Right.
But we have to start thinking, if that's there, do I want to use that website?
So...
Or do I... Excuse me. If we also have to start... thinking, do we want to adjust the cookie and privacy settings on my browser? That's really key.
Now, I wanted to get to cookies in a sec. We'll do it right now. I wanted to get to that subject, so it's a perfect place to introduce it. I find, is it becoming more prevalent to find these cookie policies that pop up and say, do you want to do this? You want to opt in, opt out? I certainly see it more in European sites than I see it in American sites.
We see it because they have to be there in Europe.
Yeah.
Or sites that are geared to the world. They're there because it includes Europe, except for Britain, I suppose. But
we don't know about them yet.
Yeah. But one of the things that's... One of the articles I read recently about it that started me thinking about this is there was an article about the fact that some of the advertising statistics that they're tracking seem to have been thrown off whack by the GDPR, because instead of saving data, in some cases, companies are collecting it each time they need it. So, in other words, instead of saying, okay, Joe Donahue, from this address, logged on at this moment, and saving that, they can save whatever happens at that moment when they need it, so that when you need that piece of information, instead of going back to the database of the website, they ask for it again.
Mm.
Advertisers don't like this.
So, for
but
the,
it's from a data point of view, it's a better process.
So, in the 2 minutes we have left, I guess I'm thinking of this for myself. I'm thinking of this for the listener who may be hearing us right now and saying, "Well, I don't know what is data. Like, what are we talking about? What are we talking about of the data that I may not want to share?" So, give us a real world example of the kind of thing that we may not want to share. What you were talking about in California.
All the things in California.
Let me see this list again. This is everything, right? I mean, some of this is obvious. Your financial accounts. Well, yeah, right. You don't want that out there. But there's some here, or your passport number, or that kind of stuff. Your education information.
That's not always, that one is marked, I think, as not always available. It's not always.
Not publicly available. Well, it's not, what is not publicly available.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that remains private.
Yeah. And things like what's a pixel tag?
Pixel tags are really interesting.
Uh-oh. Yes.
In a website, when a website loads, code is executed in the browser. It's specified on the website, and when the website reads that code, it does whatever that code tells it to do. A pixel tag is an image on a website that has code associated with it, so that when you load that website, the pixel tag code is executed. And like all the other objects on the website, but the pixel tag is an image that is 1 pixel by 1 pixel, which means for all intents and purposes, you can't see it because it's too tiny.
Yeah.
But it's there, so when you load the website, the code is executed, and that is the code that updates cookies. I do think, and I haven't seen any numbers on this, but we should start seeing it, more and more people are turning off cookies on their browsers. It makes for some inconvenience in some cases, but I think, for myself, I turn off cookies in all of my browsers.
And the inconvenience is, in the 20 seconds we have left, and the inconvenience is then when you go back, you often have to provide the data again. Yeah, put in the stuff that you need to do.
I'm just very careful with which ones I do.
Yeah. Well, it's all fascinating. We'll see, I guess, see what happens, right?
Yeah.
And we'll see how California...
I think the California thing is, as it starts to go into effect, as we get closer to January 1st, I think there's going to be more attention paid to it.
Jesse Feiler provides consulting services to small businesses and nonprofits. He has a ton of information about this very topic on his website, which he does for us. It's champlainarts.com, champlainarts.com. Jesse, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Pleasure.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.